Beat Art.
PRI, Public Radio International.
Next time in Studio 360...
I only met him once.
Wait, who did you meet once?
Paul.
Just your typical American family. Two kids, two moms.
Who's Paul?
Our sperm donor.
I'm gay and I have a girlfriend and we're trying to have a kid and nobody's made this film.
Director Lisa Cholodenko on her new movie, The Kids Are All Right. Next time in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC.
This is WFYI HD2 Indianapolis, The Point.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for
it. Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Kobe, you got your wish. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Working the board, a man who's obviously a fan of Curtis Mayfield, and also the president of the Indianapolis chapter of the Colby Calliott Fan Club, Mr. Kobe Slagle.
That's right, hello.
Oh, hi, Kobe.
Hi, Matt.
Sitting in with us today from Indie Style TV on Channel 8 and MarkDubeck.com.
That's right.
The one and only Mark Dubeck.
What's going on? Nice to be here, guys.
Thanks for having me in.
So I'm fantastic. I tell you what. This is exciting already.
Already.
I've only been here a few minutes, and I'm just... there's all kinds of stuff going on.
We're just getting started. So Mackenzie, I said hello.
I will tell her. She'll be great. I hope she's listening out there.
She's next, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring her in so she can double-check everything that you said.
Well, So Mackenzie and I, we work together on Movie Mark, which is on Comcast. So we have some shows going on there. But, yeah, we'll talk more about that later.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Well, we got a... I love Curtis Mayfield, too. I know you do, too. And I got a surprise for you, a little musical surprise I picked up on my recent trip to Chicago. With a link to a recent WFYI event. We'll get to that in just a moment. Okay, folks, well, apparently it was a big movie week. Well, it's July 4th because movies don't start on Friday. They open Wednesday at midnight, and I think there were two films that opened Wednesday at midnight, and I'm far too old to do that. And Mark, you went to see it at a reasonable hour, like a normal person, because we have families and lives and jobs and other things. But opening in theaters we're going to start with is the latest from M. Night Shyamalan, The Last Airbender, based on a Nickelodeon series I've never seen.
Yeah.
And, well, the big question really with this film is it's better than his last film, right? It has to be better than Happening, we think?
Happening? Yeah, you know what? It is better. It's just a departure from what he had done. I actually just interviewed him on Wednesday.
And how is M. Night?
You know what? He's very spirited. He's got a good personality, and he's a little more upbeat than I guess I would have thought he'd be.
With all the dark material that he covers, you mean?
Yeah, he was very friendly, and, you know, it was a satellite interview we do. It's not quite in person, but, you know, I had never talked to him before, so it was cool. And, you know, he kind of, the only time he came at me, I think, was my last question I posed, which I believe is fairly obvious, that he's kind of known for the old trick ending.
Oh, you mean, I think the pattern of his films have been a creepy atmosphere, plot point, creepy atmosphere, plot point, big twist, finish.
Exactly.
Credits, right?
Right, well, that's what, even as a critic, you know, he said, well, that's how the media portrays my career, but I don't see it that way. And that he basically went on and on about what films didn't have surprise endings.
The Rosie O'Donnell nun film, right. And The Happening. Yes,
you know,
I know.
And he was a good guy. But, you know, my point with that is, you know, it's not a bad thing to be known for. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, the films that he made his name, you know, why not revisit that every few films?
I think you also chanting Go Blackhawks probably didn't help him either, because he's a Philly guy. Do we got the audio?
We got the audio.
All right, let's hear a sample. No, this is not that other radio station which has the dance party on Saturday nights. I put that in because this film involves fighting with earth, wind, and fire. And no, they don't fight Cool and the Gang in the movie, but give a listen to the trailer. Seriously.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, do you remember when Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came out almost 10 years ago?
Was it really 10 years?
It was 10 years.
I thought about that a lot watching.
Well, and I think what Crouching Tiger wanted to do was this was an opportunity for people to see a well-made martial arts film with real acting. This was not your dad's. This was not our Bruce Lee or early Jackie Chan. This was actual storyline and that sort of thing. I think what The Last Airbender is trying to do is introduce to, obviously, a younger group the post-Crouching Tiger, well-made, special effects-heavy martial art films. Films like Jet Li's Hero, House of Flying Daggers, those sort of things. I really hope they see those films after seeing this, because, yes, this is Martial Art Epic 101, and I mean that with all due respect, because that's really what this is. It's 101. It is a very flat epic. By the way, I think we're starting to get more and more gripes about it, the 3D thing.
Yeah,
I didn't think you could do less things with 3D since Clash of the Titans.
Sure,
but apparently yes, there is more, and it doesn't really do anything for you.
Yeah, I had actually got an email prior to going to see it say, don't bother putting the glasses on, it's better without them. So anytime someone says that from someone
and
on
I'm
the street,
nearsighted, so I took my glasses off, and it was perfect.
Yeah, right.
But no, it was, I mean, we have a very young group of actors, and yes, there's already certain shows on this beloved station that are kind of irked because non-Asians were cast. That's a whole other discussion for a whole other time. But we do have, the kid from Slumdog Millionaire, the Patel, and gentleman from The Daily Show who's on this. So there's some experienced actors, but the young kids, they got a long way to go, and it's a lot of, this is a lot of burden for a pretty young cast of kids to carry.
Well, you know, and I looked into it a little bit, because as you mentioned, it's based on the cartoon from Nickelodeon, and, you know, people were mentioning it to me. I'm not a big cartoon person myself, but my kids had seen it. So they mentioned it to me, so I kind of went and looked it up and stuff, and what's, you know, he mirrors the cartoon series pretty closely. And then to take your point of saying it's PG light, Chasing Dragon, you know, it's,
right.
M. Night talked about, I think that in his mind, he felt as if he was starting a franchise. He mentioned Star Wars. He mentioned, you know, films of that caliber.
Like comparisons.
He was saying when I grew up.
Right.
So I think he's, and this is supposed to be a trilogy, I believe. I don't know if he'll direct beyond this, but,
I don't know if they're going to make, because, besides the fact that it's a flat epic and the fight scenes are okay and the special effects, well, don't need it in 3D. This is also going up against the glittery vampires and the juggernaut of Toy Story 3, which is still making top bucks. I think he's in trouble on this one. I don't know if anybody's going to go see this. Is anybody excited about catching this up? And honestly, I checked in with some of our colleagues after the screening. I was the kindest of the lot.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. There's a colleague who I'm not going to say because I want him to take the credit for it, but he's already dubbed this worst film of the year.
Whoa.
And I said, is this worse than The Happening? And one of them said, yes. Somebody said, yeah, is this was worse than The Happening? And The Happening was god-awful.
Well, I'll tell you, you know,
that bad.
I would say that I like this film, you seem to be complaining about the fight scenes and, you know, that's kind of light, and that, but I actually thought that was one of the better parts of the movie.
It should
was,
be.
Was the Avatar, you know, bending the air and water and the things.
And Maurice White. And
right. But I thought that was really cool, and, you know, in fact, when we got it, you know, here's a true test of a film, especially who it's targeted to. I think it's PG, and, you know, my kids, when we got home, were making the motions of them bending.
You took your kids?
Yeah, I took my kids. So,
and how'd they go?
I'll tell you what, halfway through, my daughter Gracie, who's 7, said, Dad, I give things 4, whether it be reels, depending on what show it is. Four
gave,
of anything.
She gave
she goes, Dad, I give it a 3 out of 4. And then at the end of it, she said 4. My 18-year-old sister was there. She loved it. So,
okay.
We got 39-year-old me, and I actually thought it was good. I gave it 3 out of 4.
Okay.
You know, but is it something on the level of a classic film? Absolutely not. Does it borrow from a lot of things like you suggested? Certainly. And it's not too much of anything. It's just kind of, I think, a nice mix of a nice story and some cool action scenes.
So. Yeah, if you've never seen House of Flying Daggers or Hero or Crouching Tiger or any of that lot, well, one, what's the matter with you? You must be 9. and 2, check those out before you check this out. So, Kobe, hit me with the sound there. That's just...
No!
I know.
No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
But it's not as bad as The Happening. I swear it's not. And I, like I said, I'm being kind of this compared to others. Now, if you don't want to wait in line with kids, and or you don't have kids, or the kids have a sitter, there is the new independent comedy Cyrus, which stars Jonah Hill and John C. Reilly and Marissa Tomei, and it's
Marissa Tomei.
I do too, and I know you're thinking of the wrestler and Before
Age.
The Devil Knows You're Dead, Mr. Slagle. So your answer, no. Close, but no. She's actually one of those. She looks better now than she did in her My Cousin Vinny days.
Absolutely.
So, I think she and Diane Lane drink from the same.
I'd like to think that
water.
You and I are aging that way. So,
I know I am. And you stay over there. John C. Reilly is a divorced man who meets the girl of his dreams, but there's a 21-year-old son that still lives at home. Hit the audio.
I am in a tailspin. I'm lonely, borderline desperate.
Don't you want me?
I have so much to give, you know? I have all these gifts. I'm a blast.
What kind of, like, cabinet
conversation here.
Oh.
So,
okay.
I'm going to have some conversations, too, here eventually. My ex-wife, she's getting remarried, but I'm fine with it.
Well, yeah, I overheard your speech over there on the couch.
Oh.
I thought it was really honest.
Are you flirting with me? I'm like Shrek. What are you doing here? What are you doing here in the forest?
I didn't
say that. Shrek.
There was a time
of my world. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I really like you. Is it crazy for me to say I wanted to work out? She's amazing. Man, I can't believe how deep into it I am.
I love being with you.
Hey, guys.
Whoa.
Sorry for interrupting you.
She has a grown son.
Oh, my God. I'm Cyrus. To John, our new friend. So, are you going to stay the night?
I haven't had a man over since Cyrus was born.
It's great to finally have a new dad. Night, John.
Actually, your mom's in the shop. What are you doing?
The light is seeing your hair in this gray way. It's like a crippled tree reaching for heaven.
The kid seems really weird. He was messing with me.
You're paranoid.
You are out of your league.
I will knock you out.
What?
From Fox Searchlight Pictures.
Hi, John.
Comes a brutally honest comedy.
Your son hates me.
How long have you felt like this?
It's been building.
It's very mature, but he's not coming to himself yet.
I'm so proud of how close we are.
John C. Reilly, Jonah Hill, Marissa Tomei, Catherine Keener.
Listen to me, you little weirdo. If you want to mess with me, I want to mess with you right back.
Oh, buddy.
Everything okay?
All right, folks, I gotta give you a little heads up. First off, well, actually, these guys have been an underwriter at FY, not FY, but NPR in general, so it's been fun hearing those promos. But just because it has John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill, don't expect a Step Brothers, mm-hmm. Apatow-esque battle of wills. There's a little bit of, yes, if you see in the trailer, there's a little bit of fighting at a wedding. This is more of a mental battle between Reilly and Hill, but it is really about this guy trying to get into a great relationship with Marissa Tomei. And really, most films should be about that subject matter.
Well, I think the opening scene is very Judd Apatow-esque, if you will,
mm-hmm.
if you recall. So.
But there's no...
No, I know. That's what I'm saying, but they do start off in that direction.
Right.
And it, like, throws you off a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, John C. Reilly's not doing anything to a drum kit like he did in Step Brothers, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But this is more of an acerbic mental thing. Everybody in it's very good. And I wish I could take credit for this, the half-faced man Roger Ebert wrote this up and said that Marissa Tomei had the hardest role, because one, to have a very casual relationship with your 21-year-old son, which they do in the film, and to like John C. Reilly's character. Now, Reilly's one of those guys. I think a film gets a little bit extra stock, a little bit extra boost because he's in it, even if the material isn't. And to be able to like this character. And I think she pulls it off nicely. And, you know, she has a great opening line, which I can't repeat on the radio. She meets Reilly at a party when he's taking a leak. And she says something very complimentary, which I wish all people would greet me with that. But I enjoyed it. Just don't go in expecting, a crazy, wacky comedy.
Now, when you say you enjoyed it, I mean, how are you rating this film compared to, other films?
Well, I have Ben Kingsley clips and other things that I put in.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a rating system because
I got you. I got you.
To listen to me.
I'm just curious how much you like it, I guess, is my point. Yeah, because,
I'm
all
liked
for...
it, didn't love it. I mean,
yeah.
It was
okay,
not one of the best things of the year. But I think also after a while you get barraged with the summer stuff that anything out of the ordinary is gonna stand out for you a little more than usual, and this one did.
Would you agree, though? When you're in our industry, you hear a buzz about a film well before it comes out, or that you need to see this small film, and then when you do see it, the expectations are a little bit high because you figure if this made it all the way to this point,
it gets to our city.
Yeah, right, exactly, and we get this special screening for it. Yeah, I didn't like it as much as some of the other reviews I had read, but I thought Marissa Tomei did a nice job, exactly what you said, and Ebert, balancing the film out, and she was the best part. Jonah Hill, I thought he did well in the role to play a very disturbed, weird young guy, but I don't know, that's a stretch for him. He just took out some of the humor and added an oddness,
Are you getting burnt out by him?
I am, especially, you know, I love getting him to the Greek, but, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I think I would have liked other actors in the role that he played. I mean, I just thought the movie was good. I'm just getting burnt out on him, yeah.
Okay, we just saw him a month ago,
yeah.
So, and now we know he took a big paycheck for one film, so we could do a film
sure.
like this.
Sure, and he wanted to stretch his, you know, what we know him as, but pretty much, you know, I like him as the funny Jonah is in the weird one. But.
Pantsless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, that scene's in there, and it's in the trailers, folks. I'm not giving away. Yeah, we try not to do spoilers, but that's in the trailer. I'm sorry. So, overall, yeah, go check this out.
Yes, 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 yes!
Okay, now, the big film. Now, I have to admit, I didn't see Twilight because, well, I didn't see the first two. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pick up on the subtle nuances from the first two. And I don't think they screened. I know they screened the third one for us. I can't recall if they did one and two for us. And then really, me watching Twilight is like me in Broad Ripple After Dark. It's really, why are you doing this? But anyway, instead of the trailer, I want to play for you something I thoroughly enjoy. And hopefully they won't bother me about residuals. But here's Riff Track's take on Twilight New Moon.
Come, my love, we have a lot of pausing to do.
And stammering?
Maybe I shouldn't be dating such an old man. It's gross. I should be thoroughly repulsed.
Well, that's what Sun Yi says every day.
I'm kidding.
Hey, happy birthday.
I bought you a handful of beads. Jim Carter.
He's doing his impression of the millions of boyfriends who had to sit through this movie.
Some people.
Some people. No giant pause necessary.
I had to come up with some kind of plan.
Kind of plan. It's not that damn hard.
Boo! You suck!
We hate you, Bella!
You've been looking kind of pale lately.
Wow, that's like having Pete Wentz tell you you've been looking like kind of a douche lately.
You can't protect me.
Well, I can make a pretty good attempt at it. I think that
through
if I...
everything.
Would you please get all the way through a sentence without a giant pause?
I don't want you to come.
Our Suburban's going to be crowded enough as it is, and if you come, I won't have room for my comic book.
Okay, I know. Well, that was too simple, I would say. So, sir, you saw Twilight. Hit us
screened
with
it Monday night. You know, I should start off by saying I didn't read the books.
We don't review books here.
I know, but sometimes I think that's important when, you know, you're comparing things to a book. But I kind of like the first one, didn't like the second one. Okay, so that's where we start off here.
Okay.
The third film I was very surprised by because... It was far superior to the first two.
Okay.
It is directed by the guy that did 30 Days of Night.
And Hard Candy.
Yes, and Hard Candy. Right. And in his influence in the action scenes and the battles between the vampires and werewolves, where, you know, you could tell it was him. I really enjoyed his direction, and I thought that the film, supposedly, I guess this is the best book, a lot of people say as well, because of all the action, the love triangle.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, actually, the biggest,
I said it.
You know, the biggest thing that makes this film good, that I said it separates it, is there is a fun and upbeat vibe going through the film where people are sorting to connecting.
So Bella smiles, actually?
Yeah. I said normally we see 2 hours of her moping on screen, but especially the last film, it's like, oh, come on, cheer up, you know? It's like...
you got two guys fighting for
now
you.
She's fighting over a werewolf or a vampire. You know, they're both after
That's
her.
Hard.
And it's pretty... Yeah.
As it turns out, she's going to go after... She's going to dump both and go with Dakota Fanning and form the Runaways. Which I think already happened.
I think that did happen this year.
It did.
Yeah, but I mean, the bottom line here with it is... Obviously, if you're a fan, you're already going to see it. You don't need to listen to us about it.
Yeah,
but,
because you're the old guys.
But if you're if you're curious about you know, getting into the Twilight phenomenon, and you just really kind of want to start somewhere, I think you could start here and just see if you like this film, because this will probably be the best.
So I guess you got something for Dubek's response to that.
Yes,
yeah, I think so. Oh, thank you.
Yes,
all right, I have here. This is an open letter to Twilight fans. This is written by my guest on last week's show, Jeff Marker, who's a film critic for the Gainesville Times, as well as a professor of media studies at Gainesville State College.
Wow.
Allow me.
Good credentials.
Yes. Dear teenage Twihards, it's none of my business. I know how you feel about adults prying into your affairs, but I'm a little worried that the Twilight Saga Eclipse might give you the wrong idea about some things. First, let me say, I get it.
It only took me three movies, but I think I finally understand why you like these movies so much. You think Bella has it made. She's totally in love with Edward, and they're going to get married right after graduation and then live happily ever after for it because he's pretty and he sparkles in the sun. But then there's also Jacob, who pines for her no matter how long the love goes on required. And yes, he's got those deep brown eyes, rock-hard abs, and apparently doesn't own a single shirt. So not only does Bella have two boys in love with her, but she's also tortured by the pain she causes them and suffers from some pretty intense longing herself. She's in a constant state of all-consuming love and anguish. Right there, she's living through Romeo and Juliet, Great Expectations, and an Anne Rice novel all at once. But no matter what the movie says, neither relationship is healthy. You're arguing over Team Edward versus Team Jacob. And the whole time I kept thinking, gosh, which stalker should Bella choose? The older stalker with a frightening violent streak who controls her worse than any father ever? Or the younger stalker with a frightening violent streak who refuses to take no for an answer? The truth is, she shouldn't choose either. They both have fangs, ladies, no matter how hard these books and movies try to hide them. I'm sure you already know this, but it's okay when the real Edward in your life demands you to know where you are at all times and gets angry anytime you speak to another boy. And it's downright dangerous when a real Jacob refuses to believe you don't love him, no matter what you say to him. So go see the movie, which you'll like. Love, by the way. Enjoy the fantasy. Perhaps there's a Team Bill or Joe or Eugene out there you can join. Dear husbands and boyfriends, face it, dudes, you're stuck. Either she'll drag you to this movie or she'll see it with your bestie, with her bestie. Ooh. Either way, that's a whole different thing.
I like that.
It's in your life either way. But here's good news this time. Remember how nothing happened during the first two movies? Bella bit her lip, Edward stared, Jacob flexed, and all you can think about is whether your better half has gone insane. I mean, what's the deal with this skinny British guy anyway? Well, there's actually a story this time, a new group of vampires, plot, plot, plot. So, at least they knock each other around a few times in this one, and two pretty boys don't take themselves quite as seriously. I'm not saying you'll enjoy it, but this one will hurt less. And finally, dear Cougar Twihards, Tyler Lautner is currently 18 years old. At least wait until you're outside the theater before making oogie sounds about his naked torso. Yeesh. Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you, Jeff Marker.
Yeah, no, that pretty much sums it up. More or less. I mean, the thing is about it, I don't think it's that bad. I think the thing is the way that they set up this film, it's one of those things where you're not going to be bored if you're just a guy. I mean, it's interesting enough that it'll keep your attention.
So. There you go.
There.
Okay, a couple other film notes going on right now, actually, if you have no plans, and it's okay if you don't. We have plenty here in Indy. At the Indianapolis Museum of Art, as part of their Summer Night series, they are showing the 1937 Weepy, a true Weepy from the old days, Stella Dallas. This is the one with Barbara Stanwyck, not the god-awful remake with Bette Midler. And tomorrow night at the North Westway Park on West 62nd Street as part of their Outdoor Sunset series, Night of the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, Ben Stiller running and screaming, but there is Amy Adams in Amelia Earhart clothing. All right, we're going to take a short break and talk about what's new on DVD. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open if there are any still left. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point. And WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mark Dubeck from Indie Style and MarkDubeck.com is sitting in with me. And the music we heard during the break is something different. And this was something I picked up 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I should say, when I was in Chicago for the Blues Fest. That is music from the 1973 blaxploitation, almost classic, Willie Dynamite. This was out by Universal Pictures. And I bought it for two reasons. Well, three. One, blaxploitation freak, that is yours truly. Two, the music is done by Indy's own jazz legend, late great J.J. Johnson, who also did film scores like Cleopatra Jones and Across 110th Street. But the film, in the title role of Willie Dynamite, which is the story of a pimp just trying to make a living, is played by Roscoe Orman, who is best known as Gordon from Sesame Street, who appeared at our PBS Let's Meet PBS Kids in the Park the same weekend as Chicago Blues Fest. I wish I could have had him sign this just so we could take two steps back when I showed it to him. So anyway, that's music from that today. Mark, you had something, because we played Clerks for
DVD
intro.
Oh, yeah, I was just curious. Yeah, I love that. But did you work at a video store? And if
oh, yes, I did.
For how long?
I worked at a I can't even remember the name of it, but for lack of a better word, a crummy video store in Carroll Spring, Illinois, in the Chicago suburbs. And I worked at it about a year after Clerks came out. So thanks, Randall, for the inspiration. I remember I was working when Waterworld and Showgirls came out on video,
nice.
And my boss wondered why there weren't that many rentals for those films, and it's because I kept telling the customers it's god awful.
This is how you get your training as a film critic. That's what's funny. No, but I started. I worked at a Blockbuster, and when it first broke out big in Florida,
right?
You know, they were big, and I remember thinking, this is the greatest. Other than the pay, this is the greatest job in the world. You know, you got to bring home rentals and. I thought, well, I could just be a manager here, and I'm good, you know. But see, look, they're all closed down.
See,
yeah, I'm glad
out.
I didn't go that
you
route.
Thought, wait,
I worked at a video town, too. But anyways, I just always find that scene hilarious.
Cooler heads prevailed on that. Okay, so I'm going with the one film I was actually able to see. You saw all three. I'm with one on this one. But I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's a big shock. Another remake of a horror film from the 1970s. This time, it's George A. Romero's The Crazies, only this time it's directed by Breck Eisner, who apparently is finally recovered from directing Sahara. And it has Timmy Oliphant and Radha Mitchell and a bunch of small-town people who, well, they're just crazy. And not the Patsy Cline song.
Hello. I'm coming.
Take it out?
Not Deidre and Nicholas. There was an empty gas can just sitting out front, and Bill, well, he was mowing the damn lawn.
Bill! Bill!
How long has he been playing a statue?
A couple hours now. Hey, Ben.
All things wise and wonderful. Is he dead?
You know what?
What?
We're in trouble.
I heard something from the funeral home.
What did you hear?
Screaming.
Jim?
Please!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, those who have been regular listeners, though, I've not been thrilled with the remakes of horror films from the 70s and 80s. And no, I don't think my child is being raped or anything like that. I just go to the center of the damn store and watch the original. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually liked this remake of The Crazies for a couple reasons. One, I mean, it's not the George A. Romero film you think of, the original from 1974. It's not even the fifth George Romero film you pick. What bugs me about the remakes is they take a lot of the social commentary out of the 70s and 80s, and like The Stepfather. The original Stepfather was a great piece of Reaganite 80s statements, and you know, you don't get that in this one. And you know, you have Dylan Walsh being psychotic. And in this one, you do have the thing about the government taking over and, you know, did they or did they not do a plot as far as why we have farm citizens in Iowa acting insane and wanting to kill each other or, you know, you. And the other thing that helps with this film compared to some of the other remakes, and I think especially with Friday the 13th, which came to mind, but you actually have actors with experience in this one. Timmy Olyphant, of course, if you know, despite being in Hitman and Live Free and Die Hard, also one of the best things about Deadwood and the new series that's based on the Elmore Leonard novel, Justified.
Yeah. I like him a lot.
And Radha Mitchell, of course, Finding Neverland, Melinda, and of course she's already got street cred for doing Silent Hill and Pitch Black and Man on Fire. So the fact that you have a couple, he's a sheriff, she's a doctor, and it's them running away from killers and the government, which is really one and the same, but they have a nice little chemistry together, and it's a journey, and it doesn't turn into Zombieland. I think if you don't have the social commentary about the government, then it's just another a zombie movie, and who cares?
It's Zombieland meets Outbreak, kind of like, I think.
Yeah, and I don't feel beaten over the head with it.
No,
with
I like
no
the addition of that. I thought that was nice. And mm-hmm. You know, actually, I would agree with you that I think these films tend to be sometimes a one-trick pony, you know, the same thing over and over again. I thought this was a unique spin on it, and I enjoyed it. And I like Timothy Olyphant as well. And he kind of always plays the same role, though, doesn't he? I mean,
it's kind of, yeah.
Did you see Perfect Getaway?
It's kind of.
He's just a tough guy and kind of a cool character with an odd sense of, yeah.
And not chewing the scenery at all.
Right. But I like him a lot. And I think if you like scary movies and you like things that are a bit different, you'll like this. I mean, the one scene, you know, they had a really unique way of going about the scenes, like the whole when he had the fork on the floor, when he's dragging each victim. Like, little nuances like that, I felt separated it from some of the
not wall-to-wall blood like other pictures.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but definitely violent at times.
Yeah, it is still pretty some disturbing stuff going on. But yeah, this is not a bad B movie. So overall, yeah, we agree.
And we agree.
That was a good movie.
Now, opening as a film, my favorite film, one of my favorite film titles this year, because it sounds like a 70s R&B review band that should be at the Murat or even better, the Madam Walker Theater. It's Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Also fighting with Earth, Wind, and Fire and Kool and the Gang. And it's, Logan Lerman, who finds out, well, he's a Greek god. And don't we all wish we were Greek gods? Yeah. And it's directed by Chris Columbus, who's still reeling from I Love You, Beth Cooper. Pierce Brosnan, Sean Bean, Steve Coogan, Rosario Dawson, Uma Thurman, Catherine Keener did the big check for this one so she could do Cyrus, and Joey Pants are all involved in this one as well.
And he's alive.
How long was that?
7 minutes. That's crazy, man. How do you do it?
I don't know. I just like being in water. It's the one place I can think.
There are 12 Olympian gods. Big three are the brothers Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades. The children of these gods were half human, half gods.
Hey, Mom. I thought this school was supposed to make things better.
Someday it'll all make sense. Percy Jackson, we need to talk.
This dodge?
Whoa! I found him.
Who found me?
We've been expecting you.
The gods are real.
My father's Poseidon, god of the seas.
Between myths and legends,
Zeus's bolt is the most powerful weapon ever created.
It's been stolen. Between this world and the next,
if it's not returned by the summer solstice, there will be a war.
Our three heroes,
all demigods, have inherited skills.
How
definitely have strong feelings for you. I just haven't decided if they're positive or negative yet.
Who must stand and fight?
We'll find the bolt. There's nowhere safe on heaven and earth for him now.
Take this to defend yourself. It's a powerful weapon.
This is a pen.
Only use it in times of severe distress.
This is a pen.
Click it. Wait.
Time has run out.
Maybe you're no son of Poseidon.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, President's Day 2010.
But it's on DVD this week.
Yes.
Yes, Chris Columbus, who, of course, did the first two Harry Potter films, and this is another one of the post, I know this is a very popular book,
yes.
So it's the, you know, are we trying to, is it good? So Mark, I guess I'm asking, is this more like Harry Potter or is this more like Golden Compass?
That's good. I'd say it's a blend of both those.
Okay.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's not quite as good as Potter, but it's, you know, it's a departure. There's a really cool effects and interesting characters. And let me just say this again. I saw this with my son. I always take one of my kids to these things. Now, he really embraced not only this film but the books afterwards. So
okay.
It's one of those things that it just really, I think, pushes you off. There's so many interesting characters and themes. But as far as for an adult watching, I was pleasantly surprised that, you know, I wasn't bored throughout, that it wasn't cliche. I mean, it was very kind of unique and enjoyable watch, and I was surprised a few times, too. So
better use of Greek mythology than Clash of the Titans?
Yes, big time. Yeah, absolutely. I liked it way better than Clash of the Titans.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. And it's just, yeah, it was kind of odd. I mean, it opened and just kind of petered out. And
I think it's, you know what, honestly, I think it's a long name. I mean, if you're not a fan of the book series, I you know, for my purposes, I always have to, you know, write these things, review. I'm like, man, that's too long. I mean, no, it really, honestly, I think with a quicker, cool title, they would have done a lot better. But they probably were obligated to do that.
If they didn't put in the Lightning Thief, they would think it's an R&B band from the 70s playing at the Madam Walker Theater, which I should MC. But yeah, busy time. I know because Pierce Brosnan was in this. You said he's half a horse, and I know some lady friends who would like to agree with you on that.
It's a good half for the ladies, good, yeah.
Yeah, and, or it's the Liam Neeson disease. but I know between this and he was in the Robert Pattinson film where he's not glittering, so, you know, he's
Remember
got,
Me. Yeah,
yes, he's
like
getting
that?
In the character role. I didn't see that.
Oh, come on. So.
Something
that's one
else,
of those diamonds
else,
in the rough.
Really? Something yeah. else opened that weekend, and I saw it. So
no, I understand, but I want you to see it because it's.
I write it.
It's one of those ones that a lot of people hate, but I you know, I don't know why.
Is it better than Dear John?
Oh, by far.
Okay.
By
all
far,
right,
far,
right,
far,
right,
far.
Right,
it's not even
right,
the same type of film.
And I know Chris
Dear John
is
awful.
Okay. All right. So
well, let's just be clear.
Yeah, let's be clear
well,
on that.
That's what we do here. So.
No, Remember Me is very unique. Unique film.
Okay.
It's not like just a romance.
All right, I'll write that on the list.
And I want to talk to you after seeing it.
Well, I know you do. Who does it?
I'm
anyway, here's Mark's reaction to that.
Now that was a good movie.
And finally on DVD, we have a film that's in Snakes on a Plane where we're just selling the movie based on the title alone, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Not Joan. They're the same sometimes.
No, they're not. Well, they are actually appearing in the same films from time to time.
Correct.
So they are actually two separate people.
Yes.
But yes, it's John Cusack and the wacky 80s, and we have no clip. And that's really okay.
Oh.
So is it
well,
so
I'm
Mark,
from the 80s, so,
is it as am I? But is it more? Is this film more than just wow? The hairstyle and music back then was weird.
I'm gonna go with no. I'm gonna say that I like this movie because I'm from that era.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find enough reminders. When they did have the reminders, that's what made the film great.
Okay.
Other than that, I personally thought that they got too silly and too stupid and too over the top. I would have preferred. You know, I like in my comedies, I like when there's a little bit of emotion and a little bit of realness
and less body fluid.
Yeah. and then some humor and remind me of my era. That's kind of what I was looking for. Instead, it was a little too silly for me. But overall, I enjoyed it because how could you not? You know, there's these little tiny things that remind you of what it was like to be that age, you know,
and
live there. So.
And the DVDs and Blu-rays, I know, is just chock full of extra goodies that will probably last you the entire weekend.
Do you watch a lot of the goodies?
I'm one of those people, especially if I buy them, I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm going to If I'm going to pay $15-$20, unless you send them to me, then I want to check out what I'm getting. So, yeah, I'm one of those listening to the commentaries and all that stuff. All right. So, yeah, I'm currently going
through. I aspire to be one of those people.
The pile's not that tall, and I'm talking about the movies. But, yeah, I'm currently going through the Gone with the Wind disc, 4-disc set. I should be done by tomorrow, hopefully. Nice. I started it last week. Anyway, so, okay, overall, this is his word on Hot Tub Time Machine.
Now, that was a good movie.
Now, I got one other note before we go to take a break. Of course, there's a famous Monsters convention that is hitting town July 9th through the 11th at the Wyndham Indianapolis West. That's 2544 Executive Drive. And some of the people are going to be there: William Forsythe, Margot Kidder, Ernie Hudson, Thomas Jane, just so we could say he starred in the HBO series Hung, and many, many others. There's going to be some tributes to George A. Romero. And apparently the gang from the Lost Boys, who are still alive, there might be some appearances by them as well. So.
No, interesting. I'm actually covering that for something. So
are
I hope,
you?
I hope I'd love to talk to Thomas Jane. I talked to him for Deep Blue Sea the first time, my
really?
First junket in 1999. The weekend JFK's plane went down. But anyways, that's
for no, that's story. Good. That's
another story for another time. But
that
was he was,
on that
he was my first interview at a movie junket.
Very cool.
But
I'll give you my copy of Boogie Nights from the side.
And also, what's weird is that I was going to say that weekend, next weekend, there's also a Twilight convention, which I found out about.
You're not allowed to go to that.
But no, but they don't have, like, the – sounds like the Monster convention's got some pretty A-list actors coming in.
And this is one
Twilight
of those,
does not. They have, like, one wolf. That's it.
And this is one of those – the horror conventions. It's one of those they go from city to city. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously when the actors aren't working on a project, they go and sign stuff. For and get
have you
a
been
little bit I've not been to this. I've been to Gen Con, and I've been to other like this, but – no, I'm not a whole.
I'm intrigued that it's 3 days long. I'm think I could understand one that maybe they'd get full, but I guess they must fill these things out.
And they're
going to
have some. I think they're going to have some of the zombie screening, some of the fill in the blank of the Living Dead series. So that might be checking out.
Will I see you there in costume?
No.
Oh, okay.
I save costumes for home. Okay, we're going to take a short break and talk more with Mark Dubeck. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests.
Yeah, guests. People. We got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mark Dubeck is here with me. Kobe Slagle's over there. And I'll say right now, the first three people who email me at msoci@wfyi.org, put in the subject line, movie passes, and you get a pass for two to Thursday night screening of The Sorcerer's Apprentice, or Nicolas Cage paying off his debt. So that's Thursday night, AMC Castleton, 6020 East 82nd Street, msoci@wfyi.org, movie passes in the subject matter, and these passes are yours. You have to come pick them up at 16th Meridian. I'm not delivering them to you. Mark Dubeck of Indie Style, you've had a busy morning, because Fridays are busy.
Yeah, no, they are. And actually, this week, I did. My everything was earlier because of Twilight and Last Airbender. So actually, yeah, I do indie style, and then I'm also have Movie Mark on Comcast. I have to mention that. So yes. That's on demand. And Mackenzie, formerly of Radio Now,
and future film sociology guest.
That's right. She is my co-host on Movie Mark, and it's like a 10-minute show weekly. We have all kind of stuff going on. I do movie junkets and things, and then whatever. I got a blog, MovieMark.tv or MarkDubeck.
What's your subject this week?
Twilight.
Just Twilight in general.
Yeah, we basically focused on Twilight, being is that everybody is very excited about that. And we had some interview clips with the cast, and we played a few games, and it's a good time. You know, we always have a good time. And also, by the way, we also have a show called Crowd Surfing, Mackenzie and I together. Which
I saw those pictures on Facebook.
Very
thank you very much.
Playboy, yeah. That was
it's funny, because I saw hers, and I saw that you weren't labeled on them until like a day later, and then they were. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid being labeled on those. And quite frankly, I just saw it up on demand, I'm a little... You know, first of all, I look a lot heavier than I am. I just want people to know that out there.
Stop.
I'm a very lean, older man.
Wow, can you believe this? You're not built like a 40-year-old designated hitter, sir. You're all right.
No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, it's an interesting new show that we're doing. We're doing the Monster Convention next, Mackenzie and I. That's the crowd surfing.
Oh, gosh, she's going there?
Yes, she is.
Oh, dude, you better have security.
See, that's where I'm starting with. Everybody wants to see
you're going to need some, like, basement dweller repellent.
She actually comes over, and I have to say, we shoot Movie Mark, and she brings her new baby, so she just had a baby.
That's not going to stop anybody.
Well, no. You know what? You're right. That's a good point. But, yeah, thanks for letting me plug that stuff. But that is where you can see me anytime you want.
I got to give one extra salute before we talk with Mark a little bit more. Filmmaker Joseph Strick passed away on June 2nd at the age of 86. Oscar-winning American film director and screenwriter who did a documentary in 1966 called Hecklers, which was about the British government, basically, but he's known for two other films that I have to give him credit for trying to make into movies. In 1967, he did the film version of the James Joyce work Ulysses, which was banned in Ireland until 2000. And then in 1970, and I think we have this clip in there, Mr. Slagle, but he did the film version of Henry Miller's Tropic of Cancer, which starred... Before he was throwing wrenches, Rip Torn and a young Ellen Burstyn from 1970. He also produced the 1983 film Never Cry Wolf, which I always remember Charles Martin Smith running naked through the Canadian outback. But here's a scene from Tropic of Cancer.
This, then, this is not a movie. This is a libel, slander, defamation of character, a prolonged insult, a gob of spit in the face of art, a kick in the pants to God, man, destiny, time, love, beauty, what you will. I'm going to sing for you. A little off-key, perhaps, but I will sing. I will sing while you croak. I will dance over your dirty corpse.
Ever seen Boris?
He's meeting someone who may rent the apartment.
Could you owe me 5 francs to take a taxi to St. Lazare? Now, you know Mona. If I'm not there to meet the boat train, she's liable to turn right around and go back.
Oh, Henry.
Okay, it's too late already. Forget it.
Oh, for God's sake, here.
She rises up out of a sea of faces and embraces me passionately. 1,000 eyes, noses, fingers, legs... Bottles, windows, purses, saucers, all glaring at us, and we in each other's arms, oblivious. I sit down beside her, and she talks, a flood of talk, wild, consumptive notes of hysteria, aversion, leprosy. I hear not a word because she is beautiful, and I love her. And now I am happy and willing to die.
That's from 1970's Tropic of Cancer. Salute to Joseph Strick. I appreciate your work. And that's, wow. That's man, when you're doing Ulysses... and Tropic of Cancer and trying to make those in the films, that's hard. You're talking about Absolutely. Making films on, books on filmable. So, Mr. Dubeck, yeah. How long did you talked about video stores. How long did you work at your video store experience?
Let's see. I was like summers from college, I believe. Okay. My dad lived out there. And then, I don't know, I worked at like a video town, like I said, for a brief period of time. But, I don't know. It wasn't that long.
Okay.
Know? Long enough to get some free movies and...
Now, did you have to watch the new releases?
Yes.
They weren't that strict.
Yeah. No, I mean, actually, I'm more of a new movie fan. So, I mean, I would dabble back a little bit when I kind of would just, you know, see, I need to learn a lot from you with the film history.
Oh, I'm the center of the video store guy. I know.
You are. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and my thing was, my boss, because it was an independent joint, there was two of them, and the second one closed quickly. But I was always going through the old titles of films I had not seen because, well, if I'm going to get, very low money, I'm going to get my money's worth and actually watch some, catch up on some films. And I remember picking out a film and the tape got chewed, and I informed my boss, that's why I go through the old titles to see if the inventory is in good shape. And I was never bothered again.
Well, working there, you do become a fan because you start watching everything. You see everything.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to have huge libraries. I mean, now you go, there's like four, they don't even have like big movies like Reality Bites. I mean, they don't even have like regular movies anymore.
I mean, when the center of the video store is only going as far back as 5 years.
No, but like they don't have like classic movies that you just want to go rent one. Like not even a classic, but just something that you think they would have.
I want to mention something on Facebook, and you were going to show your sister something she had not seen before. Which one did you? Because I screamed Pulp Fiction online. What did you wind up showing her?
We ended up watching Pulp Fiction. So.
And
that was actually what you suggested. Really? So.
Yes, thank you.
I think her reaction, she's 18, and I think it was, I remember when I saw it, it was similar to mine. Like, what exactly did I just see? You know, kind of like, you liked it, you thought, and maybe you were a little disturbed by it, but what exactly was it? You know, I didn't enjoy Pulp, I think, until the second time I saw it, like really, you know, get into it. But then, I've watched it. I don't watch films a lot. I watch them usually once. And maybe again, I'm one of those guys. So Pulp, I've watched again and again. It always is new to rediscover it. So.
Well, I think with this business, I've added to the list, but I think once a film opens, you got to work on what's opening next week.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's correct.
And that's, at least with this show, I thought, well, if I miss it in theaters, I'll catch it on DVD. And if I really don't catch it on DVD, I'm sunk unless you tell me to write it down, and I do. So I know you recently spoke with Jackie Chan.
Yes, I did.
The Karate Kid. In person?
Yeah, it was Chicago. In Chicago.
Him
and Jaden Smith at the same time we spoke. He's a good guy. I interviewed him for Shanghai Noon years ago
with
him
and
Owen Wilson simultaneously. That was actually, and I will tell you that both interviews were not two of my favorites. With Owen Wilson, Owen was very depressed, it seemed.
Well, his famous Marley and Me junket story on that one. I can understand that now.
Yeah, he wasn't really into it. And Jackie at the time was very bad with his English. I mean, in the movies, he must really practice his lines a lot beforehand because he was very, so that was a tough interview. But with Jaden was, he's 11 years old or whatever. I mean, he was not a great interview. But Jackie was very kind and very nice and always very polite guy. So, you know.
Did you enjoy Karate Kid?
No, I did not. I
enjoyed
the original.
All 2 hours and 20 minutes of it?
I watched it at a private screening in Chicago, and I remember just thinking, I know they really want me to like this. And I know, you know, but the thing is, it was way too long, and I just felt that they really would, you know, Will Smith's parents were, I mean, Jaden Smith's parents were trying to really push him.
Of course.
And I understand, I would do the same thing. However, I don't know, man. It's an older actor would have made for a better movie. I mean, the love interest thing just wasn't working. Right. They're too little.
You saw the film and then did the interviews?
Yes, that's the way it always works.
So that's one of your – then at times you're a fine actor for
– You are correct.
Now, has an actor ever asked you what you thought of their film?
Directors only. Actors never
really? Yeah. And how did that work out for you?
The times they have asked, I had to be delicate once, but luckily for me, most of the time that, you know, the movies were pretty decent. So.
I was able to say how I felt to Paul Verhoeven and not get punched in the face. senior year at Ball State, he spoke, it was less than a year after Basic Instinct came out, and there was this little get together afterwards, and he asked me what I thought of Instinct, and I said, I didn't like it. And he went, why? And by the way, folks, you have a reason. And I said, well, I said something that rhymed with clock tease and unpleasant chemistry. And I said, and that one chasing was a ripoff of Vertigo. And he goes, well, okay, at least you know that. And I'm like, oh, good. He didn't punch me in the face. Or like
I've had
Herzog
my knowledge tested, let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been questioned by the actor or director, like my knowledge of why I'd be asking. Yeah, John Cusack came down my throat once, actually, so.
Really?
I was very young in my career, and it was for High Fidelity, actually, which I love that movie.
I was interviewing for him.
Did you tell him why you said it in Chicago? No.
No. But I for some reason, I thought that he had been in movies where he talks in the camera. And I've researched a little. He was in a few scenes where he, you know, when you look directly.
Yeah, when you adjust the camera, right.
But you may know the terminology for that, because I would expect that you would with your directing and all the
Thank
things
you.
Anyway, he basically said, that's not me, because, you know, Matthew Broderick did that in Ferris Bueller. I think he thought I
thought it was confusing with some other kid.
Yeah, so he kind of, at that point, kind of started challenging me and being really difficult in the interview.
Oh, do we have this somewhere on a DVD?
Yes, we do. We showed it on Fox when I was on Fox.
We're going to do the Mark Dubeck box set.
Oh, boy. One time, Kat and I, you know, I used to work at Fox.
Oh, yeah.
We made up a, you know, things that make us look bad. All the moments that made us, that are really embarrassing. Because, you know, we always put the best clips of us on. The best questions. People laughing at our jokes.
Dancing to YMCA. Tell me about it.
And, and you know, we put together a reel, and it was fun to see. Because a lot of embarrassing and bad questions are... also take place at the movie junket. So. Well, think about it, man. You're put into this.
Well, I know, and if you saw Notting Hill, their treatment of it, that's not too bad.
No, it's fairly accurate. So.
So I also, as a family man, now you say you take the kids. Is there a film that your wife really wanted to see and you wound up having to see a second time?
Oh gosh, you know, like I said, my wife likes Three Men and a Little Lady, and so that actually I've had to watch about three times.
Wow,
well
that's
a lot of
love.
Tom Selleck,
is,
you know. So.
That is a lot of Tom Selleck.
He was just back in Killers, by the way, which he was.
I know. Oh yeah, for those who you know, who weren't ready for Night and Day.
Yeah,
that, so.
Exactly, same thing.
How's he doing?
Oh, he's good. No, he's good. But so you know, Angela with the wife and stuff, she doesn't request very many movies. You know, I'm the movie guy. And if you don't know, whatever, my wife, she's a weather meteorologist. So she does the weather. She's very into that, just like I'm into movies.
So you have to watch Weather Channel.
I'm not kidding that. We watch it a lot.
Does
we
she sit there and heckle? Is she like Mystery Science Theater, other people? We know. It's all right. It's like a battle royale.
Right. Yeah. No, we sleep to the Weather Channel. I mean, so because we keep our TV. Well, I'm getting a little personal.
No, I think I understand what you're saying is you know, just in case something should break. Might have to be called in?
It's that, but the Weather Channel is kind of a nice sleep tone. There's not too many loud things, not too many, I don't know.
You know what it is also? NPR.
Yeah.
Do we have some final words there, Mr. Slagle? These are
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
And those are really good words to live by. Oh, by the way, I guess Sunday is July 4th. Yankee Doodle Dandy, 1776. Really, if you need more Americana cinema... You can't. You do. Just check out those two. You'll be fine. Mark, thank you so much for coming in.
It was great being here. I'd love to come by anytime.
We'll come back in a few weeks.
Sure.
Report on what
everybody have a great holiday and great long weekend, man. And thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Give my best to the family. So on behalf of Kobe Slagle, I am Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley, filling in for Terry Gross. W.S. Merwin has been named the next Poet Laureate of the United States. On today's Fresh Air, we talk with W.S. Merwin. He's 82,